Amen. Well, it's great to be in the house of the Lord this morning. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 16 to 22. For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. Therefore, not even the first commandment was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you." Then likewise, he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Jesus Christ made up a will. The testator, the maker, the one who wrote the will. This will, his will, is now in force, full of power, full of authority, full of purpose. It's flowing and working and moving in the earth. His will, fully valid. The will and testament of Jesus Christ is taking full effect. J.B. Phillips' New Testament reads, "Christ is consequently the administrator of an entirely new agreement, having the power, by virtue of his death, to redeem transgressions committed under the first agreement, to enable those who obey God's call to enjoy the promises of the eternal inheritance. For as in the case of a will, the agreement is only valid after death. While the testator lives, a will has no legal power." What we're talking about this morning is the will and testament of a slain lamb, that of the perfect Son of God, God Himself. Jesus Christ wrote a will. If I ask for a show of hands here this morning, those who have written a will, many hands might rise. Jesus Christ wrote a will. And in this life, you cannot alter a will after a person has passed away. The will, the written will, is final. What is written is lasting, and what is written is law. The Voice Bible reads, "For whenever there is a testament, a will, the death of the one who made it must be confirmed, because a will takes effect only at the death of its maker. It has no validity as long as the maker is still alive." The last will and testament of a person is to be honored. The last will and testament of a person is to be upheld. How much more the last will and testament of the slain lamb? How much more the will and testament of our Savior, of our Lord, of Jesus Christ, of God Himself? But here's the truth this morning: to find out what the will says, to find out what the will of a person says, requires that you read it, that you take in what's written, that you come to understand what is written, what the person desired, the legacy they've left. The last will and testament of Jesus Christ. There is no guesswork here, and there is no assumption. There is no room for fabrication. What is written must be accepted, and what is written is final. I want to ask this morning, do you know the will and testament of your Savior? Do you know the will and testament of your Savior, Jesus Christ? Have you read it? Have you accepted it as final? Is it flowing? Is it working? Is it moving? Is it being honored? Is it being fulfilled? Is the inheritance being taken care of? Are we being diligent and faithful? Are we honoring our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Hebrews 9, verses 16 to 22 in the Living Bible. Now, if someone dies and leaves a will, a list of things to be given away to certain people when he dies, no one gets anything until it is proved that the person who wrote the will is dead. The will goes into effect only after the death of the person who wrote it. While he is still alive, no one can use it to get any of those things he has promised them. That is why blood was sprinkled as proof of Christ's death, before even the first agreement could go into effect. For after Moses had given all the people all of God's laws, he took the blood of calves and goats along with water, branches of hyssop, bushes, and scarlet wool to sprinkle with. Then he said, "This is the blood that marks the beginning of the agreement between you and God, the agreement God commanded me to make with you." And in the same way, he sprinkled blood on the sacred tent and on whatever instruments were used for worship. In fact, we can say that under the old agreement, almost everything was cleansed by sprinkling it with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So Jesus Christ made up a will. He wrote a will. This will is law. The death of Christ is proven. It really happened. His will took effect, and his will is still taking effect. And the Holy Spirit is the executor of the will of Jesus Christ. That is a person named in a will and appointed by the probate court after the will maker's death to wind up the affairs of a deceased person. The Holy Spirit is at work in the earth seeking to wrap up the will of Jesus, to wrap up the will of God, to wrap up the kingdom. How many know we need the Holy Spirit? We need to read the will, but perhaps we read the will and we don't quite get some of it, or it hasn't come alive inside of us. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us. We need the Holy Spirit to bring it to life inside of us. We are the beneficiaries of the will of Jesus Christ. That is someone named in a legal document to inherit. There are some here this morning that don't even know that their name is written in the will of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is at work in the earth, seeking to wind up the affairs of the kingdom. And the Holy Spirit is looking for beneficiaries, actually pursuing them and gathering them, calling them to collect their inheritance and their legacy and to run with the will of their Savior. This is what is taking place in the earth today. The perfect will of Jesus. Jesus Christ spoke to the beneficiaries in John chapter 16, and he named the executor before his death. John 16, verses 5 to 15, but now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and see. You see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. This is a living will. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, and he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. There is no greater legacy. There is no greater written will. There is no greater inheritance we could hope to receive in this life. Words can't even begin to describe it. Jesus went to the cross and he died and he rose again. He showed himself to his disciples and he declared the contents of his written will. He's the only one that has ever risen to stand in this world and declare the contents of his last will and testament. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 4 to 8, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you've heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. I want to ask this morning, do you know what we have received as the beneficiaries of his will? Grace, mercy, forgiveness of our sins, relationship once again with our Father, with our Creator, with our Maker. Do you know what we have received? Everlasting life. Do you know what we have received as the beneficiaries of his will? A helper. The executor. Do you know what we have received? All that the Father has. Wow. I wonder if you've received it. Do you know what we have received? The Bible tells us we've received power. Power to be his witnesses. Power to run with his will. Do you know what you have received? What we have received? A mission, a calling, a mandate. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. Do you know what you've received? The Passion Translation reads, "And Jesus came close to them and said, 'All the authority of the universe has been given to me. Now, go in my authority.'" That's astonishing. Do you know what you've received? Do you know the authority you've received? Are you living in the authority? Are you moving in the authority? Is it working in your life? "Now go in my authority and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to faithfully follow all that I have commanded you. Not to loosely follow." It's not proper to follow a will loosely. But it says to faithfully follow all that I have commanded you, and never forget that I am with you every day, even to the completion of this age. You know, I sat back this week, I thought, I wonder if we are so caught up with knowing times and seasons that the executor of Christ's will, the Holy Spirit, has a real struggle on his hands. That what we should be doing is not being done. Or that we're trying to tweak the will or mess with the will or downplay the will or just take pieces of the will and run with it. I like that part of the inheritance. I don't like that part. That part's comfortable, fits my life. That part, not so much. That part will work for my family, not that part. I don't want to go, I'd rather stay. I don't want to create, I'm okay with maintaining. His will is final. His will is the Father's will. Their will is one. Even as he cried out when he was on this side of eternity, perhaps facing a struggle to write some other kind of will, he cried out, "Nevertheless, your will be done." This is an agreement. This is a covenant. Do you know what you have received as a beneficiary of his will? The very victory of Jesus Christ. A victorious life. I want to ask, are you walking victoriously? Are you living victoriously? Is that the flow of your life? That should be the flow of our life. He declared, "We are overcomers." This is his heart. This is written in his will. Do you know what you've received? We are the beneficiaries and partakers of his will, and we must honor the will and testament. We remember the things that he has said. He said, "Help me glorify my Father. Help me glorify our Father." We remember the many things he has said. We are being led day by day into the truth of his will, led by the Holy Spirit. And can we all agree this morning that we cannot alter the will and testament of Jesus Christ? There is no greater inheritance. There is no greater heritage. There is no greater legacy. There is no greater title. There is no greater ownership. No greater succession. Do you know what we have received as the beneficiaries of his will? The gospel. The good news, He's actually entrusting the gospel to us. In your sphere of influence, he's entrusting the gospel, the good news, to you. Your home, he's entrusting it to you. He's left it in his will to you. Run with the good news. Run with the gospel. Why have we received all that we have received? Because of a covenant. Because of an agreement. I want to share with the church this morning words of Charles Spurgeon. Long before this round world was made, or the stars began to shine, God foresaw that he would make man. He also foresaw that man would fall into sin. Out of that fall of man, his distinguishing grace and infinite sovereignty selected a multitude that no man can number to be his. But seeing that they had offended against him, it was necessary, in order that they might be saved, that a great scheme or plan should be devised by which the justice of God should be fully satisfied and yet the mercy of God should have full play. A covenant was therefore arranged between the persons of the Blessed Trinity. It was agreed and solemnly pledged by the oath of the Eternal Father that he would give unto the Son a multitude whom no man could number, who should be his spouse, the members of his mystical body, his sheep, his precious jewels. These the Savior accepted as his own, and then on his part he undertook for them that he would keep the divine law, that he would suffer all the penalties due on their behalf for offenses against the law, and that he would keep and preserve every one of them until the day of his appearing. Thus stood the covenant, and on that covenant the salvation of every saved man and woman hangs. He goes on, the name of the blood, as we find it in our own translation, is the blood of the testament. This teaches a similar truth, though it puts it under another figure. Salvation comes to us as a matter of will. Jesus Christ has left eternal life to his people as a legacy. Here are the words, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Now a will, as the apostle rightly tells us, has no power whatever unless the man who made it is dead. Hence the blood of Jesus Christ, the token of his death, gives validity to all the promises which he has made. The spear thrust by the Roman soldier was a precious proof to us that our Lord was really dead. And now, beloved, whenever you read a precious promise in the Bible, you may say, this is a clause in the Redeemer's will. When you come to a choice word, you may say, this is another codicil to the will. Recollect that these things are yours, not because you are this or that, but because the blood makes them yours. The next time Satan says to you, you do not believe as you ought, and therefore the promise is not sure, tell him that the sureness of the promise lies in the blood and not what you are or in what you are not. There is a will proved in heaven's court of probate, whose validity depends upon its signatures and upon its witnesses and upon it being drawn up in proper style. The person to whom the property is left may be very poor, but that does not overthrow the will. He may be ragged, but that does not upset the will. He may have disgraced himself in some way or another, but that does not make the will void. He who made the will and put his name to the will makes the will valid. Not the one to whom the legacy was left. And so with you, this covenant stands secure. This will of Christ stands firm. In all your ups and downs, in all your successes and your failures, you, poor, needy sinner, have nothing to do but come and take Christ to be your all in all and put your trust in him. And the blood of the covenant shall make the promises sure to you. I want to ask the church this morning, do you know what we have received? I think of the joy of some people that I've had the chance to speak of when they find out, yes, there's sorrow, but when they find out that there's been something left, a legacy, an inheritance, how it blesses their heart and can bless their family and bless the generations to come if it's taken care of properly. This is the same. All that we've been left, are we taking care of it? Are we taking care of the gospel? Are we taking care of church attendance? I think of what some grandparents have left this generation. I wonder if we're taking care of it. Or if we're squandering the inheritance and losing it. Losing the authority and losing the power. Not recognizing what Jesus has called us to. Rather, that death was a long time ago. And so we're so far removed from the will. Another generation removed. And therefore we've lost sight of what the will really declares. What the will really says. What the law really is. Are we governing our homes by his will? Are we governing our schedules according to his will? Are we governing our entertainments according to his will? Are we governing relationships according to his will? All things, all aspects of our living, do they fall in line with the law that is his will? All that he's declared. We are not hid from his eyes. He knows full well how every single person is carrying his will. The legacy that's been left, the inheritance that has been left, all that has been left. Do you know what we have received? Every promise. Every promise he has made. If that doesn't take you back, I don't know what will. Every promise. We can have the worship team return this morning. What greater inheritance? What greater will? What more could we ask for or long for? God, let us ever be grateful. Let us ever be joyful. How blessed we are as the beneficiaries of his will. I want to encourage all of us this morning. Let's accept the inheritance. Let's accept it. There is no greater inheritance. Let's accept it. Let us honor the inheritance. Let's run with the inheritance. Let's cherish the relationship. Let's listen to the Helper. Let's listen to the Holy Spirit. Let's operate in the power and let's declare the good news. Let's take to the mission. Let's walk in the victory. Let's uphold the legacy. Let's receive his promises. Can I encourage all of us here this morning? Let's be holy. That was in his will. That's still in his will. It doesn't matter what the world looks like or how sophisticated the evil is today. God's will for his church and for his sons and daughters is that they be holy. That has not changed. Has not changed. We can't mess with the law. We can't mess with the will. Let's be holy. Let's be pure. Let's be righteous. Let's be just. Let's be committed. Let's be faithful. Let's be passionate. Let us not waver. Let us not be partial or lukewarm. Can we receive it today? Let us be willing. And let us lovingly accept our role as beneficiaries. And let's let the Holy Spirit wind up the affairs of the kingdom, because it is final, and His will and testament cannot be changed. What an agreement Christ has administrated. This agreement is valid. This agreement has ultimate legal power. Let's stand this morning. Just begin to thank Him. Just begin to thank Him. Thank You for the inheritance. Thank You for the legacy, Jesus. Thank You for Your will. Maybe we need to cry out this morning, not my will, but Your will be done, O Lord. We might be here this morning, but we don't even know. We didn't even know until this morning. We didn't even really recognize. We weren't aware that our names are written in His will. Perhaps we've never thought of it like this, that we are the beneficiaries. We didn't think these promises were for us. We didn't think this call was for us. We didn't think this love was for us, or this grace was for us, or this mercy was for us. His will is law. It cannot be altered. It cannot be altered. Holy Spirit, come afresh and lead us. Lead us and guide us. Every day being led deeper and deeper into the will of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord. Is nothing worth more? No sin can compare. You're out living. We welcome the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, You are welcome.